Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Tuesday, February 7th edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know now the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but there is various content added throughout the week. So swing yourself over there, check out what's going on over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 D's.
So, all right, Dan, you know, football season's over. They had the parade today. I didn't watch any of it. They were talking about it all morning on the NFL Network, but I did not see any of it. Not really of interest to me. Did you catch any highlights?
Did Patriots have their parade already?
Yeah.
No, I didn't even know. I thought that would be nice.
The only highlight I saw, and I'm sure you won't be shocked by this, is apparently the Gronk took his shirt off. But there is some baseball stuff going on. We're about a week away from pitchers and catchers reporting. But Dan, I know to you, the most important baseball story right now is what?
Sergio Romo going to the Dodgers.
Oh no, you got it wrong. Jeez. Yesterday, Dan, the Oakland A's announced that the playing surface at the Oakland Coliseum will be renamed in the honor of who, Dan?
Ricky Henderson.
Ricky Henderson. Yeah, it's going to be Ricky Henderson Field. It will be dedicated in a pregame ceremony before the team's April 3rd opener against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The quote here calls him the greatest athletic of all time. So not only did they name the field after him, Dan, he is now the, you'll love this because we get this here in Chicago a lot, the special assistant to the team president.
Are you just going to be hanging out all the time?
Yeah, you know, he makes the appearances and, you know, stuff like that. They do this. But, yeah, you know, he's still the all-time leader in runs scored with 1,270. The all-time leader in walks, which is really impressive, at 1,227. And then, of course, stolen bases with 867. You know, Dan, with the way the game is played now, does anybody touch that stolen base record, or is – you know, that going to be like Cy Young and his 511 wins?
Nobody touches it. I mean, who's the most? Steve Gordon with, what, 50?
Active? I would have to get on your favorite website and let me see if I can.
Not average right here.
See who comes up.
Most anyone even averages per year. That's not even an average. I'll bing
active stolen base leaders for you, Dan, just because I like you. 508 is the current high, but it's by Ichiro, who is 42. Now, I know, you know, he's been playing for a long time, but I don't think he's going to play long enough to get to that, what is it, 867?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's definitely, you know, he's definitely safe there. Let me see if I can find a younger guy. Well, here's the guys. Jose Reyes at 488, but he's 33. He's not getting there. Well, Jacoby Ellsbury is 32, but he's only got 321. Yeah, it looks like the youngest guy here, Dan, is Elvis Andrews, who is actually 12. He's 27 years old, but he's got 241. Mm-hmm. Billy Hamilton, who I know is the one guy we would question, he's 25, and he does have 184, but he's not getting 700 more in his career. So, yeah, there you go. So, and then, you know, I did forget he also holds the record for most stolen bases in a season with 130. So, you know, he's definitely up there as, you know, one of the all-time greats. And probably, you know, obviously it's a little tough to compare the decades when, you know, they didn't have video or in some cases even fences in the outfield. But, he's definitely the greatest modern era leadoff hitter of all time. You know, there's no question there at all. So, but yeah, I knew that would be the biggest story for you of the, you know, right now.
I think it's funny that they named the field that, not the stadium, just the field.
Yeah. So, well, you know, you sell the stadium rights. You can name the field after, you know, is it weird that it's the field? Shouldn't it just be like the outfield or, you know, left field or something like that?
Well, no, because he stole the bases on the pan.
Yeah, you know.
He would have played any position.
That's just kind of funny, you know. But yeah, so that, you know, that's going on. And then we did have a couple more signings. You know, Chris Carter finally gets a deal. He's going to the Yankees for 1 year at $3 million. And then Mike Napoli finally gets a deal as well. He's going back to Texas. I didn't see terms of his deal. Let me see if it'll come up here in the article, if they have. You know, and obviously these are all pending physicals. You know how that goes with these. It looks like, I don't know, they don't have any numbers here for Napoli. So, you know, I'm sure it's, I think he got $7 million last year. I won't be surprised if it's right in that range with, you know, bonuses and all that stuff. So slowly but surely, Dan, you know, these guys are finding homes about a week away from, you know, pitchers and catchers reporting. The one guy still not, Dan, where, you know, we're waiting for Matt Wieters to find a home. You know, does he land somewhere before we report next week? I mean, he is a catcher. You know, who could use a big time switch hitting catcher there, Dan? Who you got on your list? I actually heard somebody say they thought he could go to the Brewers. I was like, yeah, I guess so. You know, they bring him in, and if he does good, they can deal him at the trade deadline, right? Oh, so now, you know, Dan, I do need you to explain this to me a little bit. You know, of course, we're always looking for ways to speed up the game because baseball just is not fast enough. Now, they proposed a couple ways, and one of them, we'll get to this one first because this is the one I don't understand. Raising the strike zone. You know, it's basically supposed to be already from the knees to the letters, but not everybody calls that. How does raising it speed up the game?
I don't know what it's
called. Yeah, I'm just kind of lost here. I'm looking at this article as they talk about it, and it just doesn't. You know, it doesn't really seem to, you know, explain what was going on. I mean, if you just call the strike zone, it's going to, you know, the game's going to go faster. So, I guess, well, part of the issue they have here is, they obviously, we, everything is, on video now, Dan. You can't do anything without it being videoed. One of the reasons they weren't raised is apparently the umpires are increasingly calling strikes on many pitches below the knee. So that's part of the reason they want to raise it. But I don't know. I mean, is it that big of a deal?
No, but
You cut out in mid-sentence there, Dan. We didn't hear you. I don't know if you're in your presumed dead zone that we manage to get to go through every day or what, but yeah, you totally disappeared. So, yeah, we'll have to, there we go. Well, now see, we're at that point where we can't hear Dan and then Dan falls off. So now we'll wait for, there we go. We'll slide Dan right back in here and see if we've got a little better connection with him now. There you go. All right. Yeah, Dan, I think we heard about two or three words of what you said, and then you just stopped.
I think it's one of those things where you have to introduce more than just one thing in case one thing gets shut down. It's, part of negotiating.
Yeah, is that how it is? They're going to trade one for the other? Because the other thing here, Dan, and now this would actually speed up the game. I understood this proposal. I'm not a big fan of it, but they want to get rid of the intentional walk, and instead of having to throw the four pitches, you would just basically say, hey, send this guy to first base.
I mean, I don't have a problem with it. It eliminates error.
Yeah, and I know, there are funky things that happen every now and then on the intentional walk. It doesn't happen enough to where taking this out of a game is going to be that big of a deal. So I'm okay with this one. There aren't, that many intentional walks per game. I mean, I would have to guess it's probably less than one. So, unless the Cubs are playing the Nationals and Bryce Harper is walking all those times. So, we'll just kind of see how it goes. But is that the trade-off? You think they're gonna get rid of the intentional walk?
I don't. I mean, this is something Major League Baseball has proposed to the union, so they have to approve it. I think with the strike zone thing, it's just a matter of, if you lower it, then all the calls that the umpires make at that position are now balls, and they can't be strikes. But you can't argue strikes are balls, so I don't really see the significance of this rule. And then getting rid of the intentional walk, again, it's something that the players are going to feel out. I don't, either way, I don't really care. I think maybe they should do it like they're going to adjust it. I think they should implement better rules on it, almost like a challenge, where you can only do one or two intentional walks a game.
Yeah, I never actually thought of that. That could be something that,
A little bit more strategy.
I think what they're looking to do with that is I believe they'll probably go to limit, like, because I know they talked about limiting, the way you can replace your pitcher or trips to the mound, stuff like that. So, I wonder if that's, that's next, but, who knows with this. Now, Dan, the other big thing that came out, every year, and I don't know really much about how they do it. I'm guessing it's computer generated, but the what they call the Pecota projections came out for the 2017 baseball season already. You know, they project that, you know, they don't give you who's going to win what, but what they do is they tell you how many wins they have each team getting and, you know, how it's going to work out. And we'll just take them in order by division here, Dan, and see what you think. They have right in the American League East. We got it. It's pretty interesting to start. The Red Sox have 90 wins. You know, that's no big deal. Everybody's kind of figuring that. Tampa Bay at 84. New York and Toronto at 81. And the Baltimore Orioles with just 73 in last place. Do you have Tampa Bay as a possible wild card team next year, Dan? Am I missing some offseason moves they made? Didn't they just deal Logan Forsythe to your Dodgers?
And they don't have Madden, so how are they going to do it?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that. Now, to be fair, you know, Pecota, this does do a relatively good job. I know the Orioles have never ranked well in this system. Neither have the Royals, and we'll get to that in the next division. I don't know, you know, how well it's going to, you know, going to work out, but yeah, you know, that's kind of the surprise in the Central there. I mean, we're in the East there. Were you surprised by anything else, by Tampa Bay picking up 84 wins? I mean, are you cool with the Yankees and the Blue Jays at 500?
I don't see it. I don't see Tampa Bay going above the Yankees or the Blue Jays.
All right, then we'll slide into the AL Central here. Dan, this division is apparently a blowout. The Cleveland Indians on top of the division with 92 wins. Now, Pecota has no other team in this division over 500. Minnesota second at 80. The Detroit Tigers with 78 wins. The White Sox, Dan, the rebuilding White Sox are going to get 76 wins. And it's the Royals who finish in last place with 71 wins. Boy, they don't like this division at all. How about you?
I mean, I guess they're counting on Cleveland just dominating their division.
Yeah, easily. Because, yeah, they play each other, what is it, 17 times now? The divisional teams. So, yeah, you know, it looks like they have Cleveland beating up everybody and then everybody else just kind of being even against each other. But Dan, are the Royals really a 71 win team? I mean, are they that bad? I you know, I mean, I know obviously the Ventura loss is gonna just suck for them, but you know, I mean, Jason Hamill is solid. You know, they made some decent adds. Are they a bottom feeding 71 win team?
No, I mean, I'm not going to draw my prediction because we still have to do all that. But
yeah, I mean, we have plenty of, but yeah, just kind of your observation. You know, according to this, they're the worst team in the American League.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
So, you know, yeah, you know what I mean? You know, like 76 is about where I figured the White Sox would finish. You know, that's not bad for them. I really thought Detroit would be better. You know, they came on kind of strong. You know, I know they didn't quite make the offseason changes they had bragged about they were going to make, but, you know, they're a little better than a 500 club, right? I mean, this has got them three games under. You know, I don't expect them to be competing for the division or even a wild card, but they're at least a 500 team, don't you think?
I think so. I mean, I don't know what the computer printed out, but I don't think Minnesota sitting at 80.
Yeah. So, all right, so let's go out west here in the AL, Dan. The Houston Astros will have the most wins at the American League in 93. That's where they are. The Seattle Mariners would get 87 wins, Dan, and would be a wild card team in this scenario. The Rangers at 84 wins. The Angels at 78. And then the A's at the bottom at 75. This division seems pretty close to right. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Rangers pop up, but it's not a bad order here, do you think?
Yeah, but I'm not buying the Astros 93 wins.
Yeah, that is a lot. It's not the most on this list though, but it is. It's the most in the American League, and I don't know if they've got the pitching to get 93 wins, but I can see the division going in that order. I would be okay there. All right, so let's jump into the National League. The East starts off very interesting, Dan. It's the Mets getting the division with 88 wins, one more than the Washington Nationals, who they have at 87 wins. The Marlins third at 77, the Braves at 76 wins, and the Phillies at the bottom with just 74 wins. How do you like that?
It's pretty good, but I don't know. I think this is going to be one of the harder divisions to pick because I think the hopes
You know
for
what's weird is, I mean, just looking at things, I kind of liked Philadelphia, but now they got them down here at 74 wins. I'm starting to question my judgment.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at it, it's pretty close division.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really, this is by far the closest one. Only 14 games separate first and last place. So it's definitely the closest division in baseball. And then we go to the Central. With 91 wins, the Cubs are on top. The Pirates at 81 are second. The Brewers and the Cardinals are tied at 76. And it's the Reds with 74 wins at the bottom of this division. This is interesting, Dan. You got the Cardinals as an under 500 team?
I mean, as a Cubs fan, yeah, but baseball guy, no.
It's definitely, interesting the way they kind of have that here.
And moving McCutchen to right and not to another team, I don't think still puts them in the second place.
Yeah, I don't, it'd be great. I would love to see that. I enjoy rooting for the Pirates and watching McCutchen, but and oddly, this Central Division is very much like the other Central Division. It's basically the Cubs and everybody else jumbled together. I mean, it's the Cubs by 10 games here. That's a pretty big margin to win your division by. So, but all right, their last set of predictions here, Dan. Of course, the NL West, the Dodgers are predicted to win the most games in baseball, Dan. They have them for 98. Then it's the Giants at 86, the Diamondbacks at 78, the Rockies at 76, and the Padres will be the worst team in baseball, getting only 70 wins, Dan. Are you on the Dodgers getting 98? That's a big number. I believe only the Cubs were the only team to get there last year. Are the Dodgers going to be that team this year?
No, I think they'll be 90 plus. If anyone's going to do it, it's going to be like the Nationals or the Red Sox.
So yeah, that's a huge number. And then, wild card wise, just off the standings here, it would be the Nationals and the Giants. So, that would be another one of those scenarios where Bumgarner would go out and just shut a team down, and the Nationals would have to go home early again. So, the order wise, like, I don't have much of a problem with the way they have the division in order. I think the Rockies may end up being better than the Diamondbacks, but I don't think either one is a playoff team at this point in time. But yeah, 98 is a huge, huge number for the Dodgers to get to. And, I'm not as sold on their pitching as a lot of people are. Obviously Kershaw is still king, but you brought back Rich Hill. You're counting on, Julio Urias to do a lot. I don't know if they're I mean, maybe they get to, 89 or 90, but I don't know about 98. That's a big, big number.
I mean, well, if you could take 17 of the games against San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, how many teams actually, I wonder, that would be interesting. How many teams actually swept other teams last year? Did anybody, I would be surprised. you know, how that worked out, but.
Well, and don't forget last year they won, you know, how many games or lost how many games in a row, the Padres. All of a sudden, in two or three games against the Rockies, put up, you know, 30, 40 points.
Yeah, that's always that's always fun to, that's one of the things that makes baseball, you know, just wonderful is, you know, you get these kind of odd little anomalies, you know, it's like, oh yeah, this team stinks, and then they go on a run where they win, you know, what seems like every game for, you know, a month. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are the PCOTA predictions. You know, they do this every year. I believe it's just computer generated. They, you know, they shoot it out and, you know, this is what they come up with. And, you know, they do, I was trying to think, I believe last year they had 7 out of the 10 playoff teams correct. So that's not too bad. They did better than we did. Of course, I don't know if that's something to hang your hat on. Is it? They picked better than us.
Computer analyzing.
Yeah, we get caught up in the by, you know, our, it's our heart that gets us involved, and you know that always.
But I think I had one division. I think we all had at least one division.
Yeah, I think so. But yes, you know, we'll see again. That's, the fun thing about this, you know, we're at that time where these things are going to start to, you know, start to shake out, and we're going to get to see, some more of these. So that's, you know, it's always fun to, you know, look and see what everybody else thinks compared to what, you know, you're going to end up thinking, or I'm going to end up thinking, or, you know, Mr. Fantasy or Schaumburg Stu comes up with, you know, I mean, obviously we all know Joe, you know, and even not joking wise, we all know Stu's picking the Cubs no matter what. So that's the one we don't ever have to question. You know, I know when I get that we will get, you know, I will get nothing but Cubs, you know, all his awards will be Cubs. And, you know, he may even have the Cubs win in one of the American League divisions. You just never know.
Yeah. Well, obviously last year he didn't pick any Cubs. Oh, Joe Madden.
Oh, I thought he had Madden to win the manager of the year, but you know, yeah. Other than that, you know, just one of those.
Yeah, I mean, you got the AL West right, and I got the NL Central right last year, so we'll try to improve.
Ah, see. Yeah, you know, occasionally we do okay there. So, but now, you know, Dan, you know, last night in the NBA, there was a fantastic overtime game between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Washington Wizards. The Cavaliers ended up winning it 140-135. You know, and I know, you know, I'm not a big believer in, oh, you know, this was a moral victory for the Wizards or anything like that, but does this give them a little hope in a playoff matchup that maybe they could get by a Cleveland team?
I think they can if the team, you know, focuses on trying to run the team, you know, the venue, the concessions, trying to get another player on his team, Charles Barkley and Shaq. If you can get him distracted by everything else, I think you've got a big chance. But when he turns it on, he's on like he was last night.
Yeah, you know, and oddly, LeBron did end up fouling out last night.
Yeah, in overtime. I guess it's the first time in 3 years.
So, yeah, that's a very bit of an oddity there. You know, guys like that normally don't foul out of games. Then it was Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. You know, Kevin Love, who is the main center of all these Carmelo Anthony rumors that even came out again today, but we'll get to that in a minute or so here. You know, he ended up with 39. LeBron did have 32 and handed out 17 assists. But your guy Bradley Beal going off for 41 points. Tell me you put him in your lineup last night.
Of course.
So, yeah, that was, huge night for him. And he has those nights. You know, he's that guy who can kind of pop up. He played 45 minutes along with Otto Porter Jr. and so did John Wall, who had 22 points and 12 assists in that bracket for them. LeBron, another 40-minute night. Him and Love played 42. Tristan Thompson played 41, and Kyrie played 44. So there's no rest for these Cavaliers. You know, LeBron was talking about how they need to get, less minutes and, get some rest, but they're not finding it easy against some of these upper echelon Eastern Conference teams. Is that gap closing between the Cavaliers and, say, like the Celtics, Raptors, Wizards, that top four set of the Eastern Conference?
I wouldn't say it's closing, but I don't think they're going to be at the top.
So, yeah, and then, the big story today came up. The New York Post, a guy I actually see on the Mickey Mouse Network quite a lot, a writer by the name of Frank Iasola, reported that he had a source that said LeBron has basically told the Cavaliers to get him Carmelo Anthony, even if it cost them Kevin Love. Now, LeBron has came out and emphatically denied this, because that was the holdup. Do you see... Dan, you see this trade eventually going down, Anthony, for Love, or you think LeBron is actually telling the truth?
I think he's telling the truth. I mean, I thought it was funny that he came out and said it was trash.
Yeah. So, yeah, I did get quite a kick out of that, and, again, obviously you don't get these guys' sources. We don't know who they're talking to. I mean, he could have just as easily made up the story. I mean, you and I have been over it where writers have done that, but, do the Knicks need to do something now, Dan? I mean, they lost to the Lakers at home last night.
I mean, is there a way they can, a little thing I made up. Maybe send Derek to Cleveland.
It is possible. I don't know if that would be an acceptable LeBron move. You know, Derek and LeBron aren't exactly friends. He's friends with, Anthony and those kind of guys. So I don't know if D Rose would fit into that, that nature of what LeBron would consider a friend. So I don't know, but yeah, it is, it is something that's possible. They do mention here, apparently one of the point guards on the Cavaliers radar right now is Jose Calderon, who is currently with the Lakers. I believe he was on your fantasy team a couple years ago, Dan.
Wasn't he on the Knicks?
He was on the Knicks. I think he may have actually came to the Bulls in the Derrick Rose trade. Then I think the Bulls cut him.
Yeah, they released him.
Yeah, and now, he ended up with the Lakers. I don't think he's getting a ton of playing time. Let me see if I can get his player card to pop up here for me. And we'll see if we can check out... Yeah, even in the win last night, yeah, he hasn't played in the Lakers' last three games. So, he's not getting a ton of time or a ton of minutes when he's played. So he would be expendable as far as the Lakers are concerned. I don't know if he's the quote-unquote playmaker LeBron is looking for, but...
Well, I mean, that's kind of why I threw out Derrick Rose. I mean, I think the money would be the issue, obviously. But when you look around and you think about guys who are available, and I know technically he's not available, but let's be honest, everybody's got a price, as they say. But as far as the availability, I think, you know, I don't think anyone would have a problem with moving, you know, anyone in the Knicks would have a problem with moving him, where I think other guys in that same position might not be movable.
Yeah, you wonder, you know, I don't know how the Knicks feel about Rose. You know, it's one of those things where he really hasn't been there that long. So you don't know, you know, how much, if any, attachment is there. And I mean, you know, he's been solid. I don't know if you'd call him good or however you want to describe it, but I mean, he's been okay there.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously the Rose for Love would not happen. It's kind of interesting, Rose
no.
and Love. But I mean, if you could take on two more guys, I mean, obviously the Knicks aren't taking back Shumpert, and he left the game last night. He rolled his ankle. I don't know if you caught that highlight. I don't know if it was Beal or Wall, but they got him to roll his ankle. It was a pretty nice move. So, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. Is there some way of moving him over or, you know, anyone on their team? But, you know, because I know with the NBA, it all has to match up with the money.
Yeah, that would be it would be interesting to see if that would add up, if you know, or what they would have to give up to land you know, a Derrick Rose. And you know, would the would the Knicks accept what they, you know, what they would have to take in return? Because
yeah.
you know, it would, you know, and obviously it would, you know, it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be the haul you'd be getting for Carmelo, but
no,
you
but
know,
I mean, even with
you might,
that,
you know,
you
might be able to get.
I don't have the contract terms in front of me, but I, from what I remember, I think Melo has what, three years or so on his deal. I think Love is about the same. I mean, the Timberwolves couldn't win with Love. So if you're the Knicks, how the hell are you going to build a team around Kevin Love and win? It's not going to happen. Kevin Love had to go to Cleveland with LeBron, with Kyrie, and with a slew of other of the posse, not the full posse, but you know, part of the posse, come on over, and that's how they won. You know, so I mean, even if you're the Knicks and this is something you're entertaining, how does this really improve your organization? What do you, because you're almost trading contract for contract. Okay, let's put the Bulls on the next kid. Is it really working out? I don't know. You move Melo to go play with his buddy down in Cleveland. Cleveland wins again. And at the end of Kevin Love's, you know, deal with, I think, 2 or 3 years, he moves on to another team. He doesn't, he's not, he, if he moves to the Knicks, he's not staying with the Knicks. And
yeah,
I don't know.
Looking at
I don't
it here.
Love, I don't think Love's, or
yeah.
LeBron's giving up on Love.
Yeah, dealing Rose to the Cavaliers probably isn't going to work out. He makes way too much money, and he's in the last year of his deal. So I think the Knicks like the idea of being able to get out from under that and having some salary cap space. But he makes as much as Kevin Love does. So, you know, there's no way you're swapping Rose for Love. You're not getting Kyrie Irving. You know, so the pieces the Knicks would have to take back to make it workable just, you know, isn't going to happen, because they would probably have to take 3 or 4 really bad contracts. You know, one of them probably being J.R. Smith. You mentioned Shumpert. They have 4 and 3 years left on their deal. The Knicks aren't going to do that. So.
Well, you're not going to take back guys you already had.
Right. But yeah, you know, the problem there is you'd have to make this money work.
Yeah.
So. You know, there's just no way. You know, it's gonna fall out like that. So yeah, it's definitely a no go.
No, and unfortunately, we're not going to see, you know, super friends in New York, being as you know, Phil Jackson called LeBron and friends his posse. So that'll never work.
Yeah.
It would be kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, it could be interesting. I don't know how that would work out, but
again, I still think the worst thing for the Knicks is Phil Jackson. It's not going to work. I don't see how the guy in the office can dictate and determine what's on the floor. And then if that's what you want to put on the floor, you're not getting the guys that fit into that system. So it doesn't make sense. And then when you put your triangle system, and I know they've modified or whatever, but all he's doing is going to hire coaches that are going to do what he says. So either suck it up and travel with the team and be the damn coach, or have a hands off. I that's what I don't understand. It's like, you know, I don't know. We're gonna hire Mark Jackson.
So yeah, it's definitely, you know, the Phil thing definitely isn't working. You know, whose fault is it? You know, the Knicks were in a crappy situation when he took over. You know, mm-hmm. they had tied themselves up with some bad salaries and didn't have any salary cap room. You know, to sign players. Slowly, they're managing to work their way out of that. But yeah, I'm not all that confident Phil is the guy to take him to the promised land. You know, this is what he always wanted, though. You know, when he was a coach winning all these championships, you know, he wanted this kind of power. And, you know, now maybe it's a good thing the Bulls never gave it to him.
Yeah. He probably wouldn't have had Dennis Rodman, right?
Yeah, I don't know. They seem like they could have been, you know, birds of a feather or something there. You know, they're both, Phil's a little bit of a, you know, a little out there.
No, but I don't know. I don't know. I just have the feeling that with him involved with the team, it just, he's not really doing what he's supposed to be doing and helping the team win. I think,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you've got, you know, and I know it's a different sport, but let's just take the Cubs. You've got Theo at the president's spot. We're still trying to figure out what Jed does, except for press conferences. You know, no offense to him. You know, I'd be riding that train too, shoot, making all the money. No, I'm staying with Theo, making my money. But, you know, when you look at it like that, you've got Theo doing his thing at the top, acquiring the players, Chad, you know, him and Chad. And then they've got Madden on the field, Sammy Sosa field. No, I'm just kidding. You know, dictating and regulating that. Where with the Knicks, you've got Phil, and he wants to do everything. Just like things don't seem to work out, and even though they're still the best team in the East and playing extremely well, you know, when they weren't playing as well and LeBron tries to control everything from top to bottom, they don't play as well. But then when he shuts up and just balls, the Cavs look great. Which I don't think they were.
Well, yeah, now. Now, Dan, looking here, the next time you go to San Francisco and you want to go to a Warriors game, it's going to cost you more money starting next season.
Yeah, but
so reports are the
it'll be right by AT&T Park, though. Right.
Yeah, the ticket prices are going up 15% to 25% for the cheapest tickets, which this season are $32. Next year it'll be $40. For the what they call courtside, it's going from $625 to $715, and then their prime front row seat will cost $2,600. For what is it they're saying for this year's NBA Finals, should the Warriors be there. So, you know, this is an increase. Back in 2014-15, you know, the cheapest price was $18 and courtside was $4,450. So that's, you know, that's a, what is that? Does that say 70% or something like that? It looks like. But Dan, if you're a Warriors season ticket holder starting next year, it's going to cost you $30,745 for the season, and that's not counting the playoffs.
And do they take your tickets away if you sell them too?
Yeah, that doesn't say it. But how are you going to explain that to your wife when you have to cut a check for just about 31 grand for tickets, Dan?
Well, fortunately, I came out there.
They do say here, part of the reason for the increase, this is interesting, about 6,000 tickets per game are resold, with the average increase of ticket prices being 70%. That comes from their senior vice president of business development, a gentleman by the name of Brandon Schneider. So.
Well, I mean, that seems about right.
Yeah, and it says here they've sold out 214 consecutive home games.
Do they think they're the Giants?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, tomorrow night they play the Bulls.
In Chicago or San Fran?
No, the Bulls are on the road. The ice show is here, so they're in Oracle. So. Oh. They are all set. But, yeah, God, it's a really light night in the NBA, Dan. There's actually only three games on the schedule. One has already started. The Brooklyn Nets are at the Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte's up 9-4 right now. At 7 o'clock, the NBA TV game is the Orlando Magic at the Houston Rockets. And the only other game on the schedule is the Portland Trailblazers at the Dallas Mavericks. Definitely a light NBA night. So, and, you know, I did want to ask you, Dan, if you see any significance in this. You know, when I go get the schedules and everything that I, you know, kind of read on the air for us and make your picks with, I always use the Mickey Mouse website. Well, what I noticed starting last week is the NHL is no longer listed among the top banners with the other major sports. They have the NFL, you know, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball. I got to pull it up here to see what the other couple are because I know I don't remember them. NCAA football, soccer, and then NCAA men's basketball. How is, you know, is that just a shot at the NHL because the Mickey Mouse Network doesn't cover them? Or what, you know, what would you see that as that, you know, they're considered one of the big four, but they're not listed when it, you know, they've got six sports up there and they're not one of them.
I would just say it's a shot because they don't cover.
So, yeah, because I was kind of wondering, you know, and it just kind of magically disappeared. You know, I went over to get the schedule one time and I was like, wait, where did they go? And they're just kind of down in, you know, the other region, you know, where they throw NASCAR and, you know, MMA and boxing and, you know, just about every woman's sport out there. So,
you're
thought it was
creature of habit. When I'm looking for the game schedules and who's playing who and what, I go directly to MLB, NHL, NFL, NBA. I don't even use the mothership for anything.
Well, you know, I use it because they're all together at one and it's less surfing for me while we're on the air. So, you know, it makes it a little more convenient for me to have them all right there, and, you know, in front of me. But, you know, I did see the longest, well, I guess can't call him reigning, but the longest running head coach until today was fired by the Boston Bruins. Claude Julien got the axe after 10 seasons. Now, I know the Bruins have been struggling as of late. I think they hadn't made the playoffs the last 2 years, but they were doing okay earlier this season, but they've kind of scuffled now. They have 58 points. They are 26-23-6. But, you know, they're in that, you know, that tough Eastern Conference where not so much their division, but, you know, the Metropolitan Division where your Capitals reign has, looks like six teams ahead of them in points. So it definitely was looking like another non-playoff year for the Bruins. So they made the big switch there. Now there are quite a few more games in the NHL tonight. We have the San Jose Sharks at the Buffalo Sabres, the Anaheim Ducks at the New York Rangers, the Calgary Flames at the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Carolina Hurricanes at the Washington Capitals, the Dallas Stars at the Toronto Maple Leafs, the St. Louis Blues at the Ottawa Senators, the Columbus Blue Jackets at the Detroit Red Wings, the Los Angeles Kings at the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's actually the NBC Sports Network game tonight. The Vancouver Canucks at the Nashville Predators, the Minnesota Wild at the Winnipeg Jets, and the Montreal Canadiens at the Colorado Avalanche. You know, Dan, I went to turn on the center ice package last night, and it told me I didn't have it. I thought I was going to get a free preview. I wanted to check something out, and I got nothing. Did you look at all or anything for it?
No, I didn't look on cable, but maybe it's because you have DirecTV.
Yeah, I mean, it is possible, you know, with all the crap that goes on with DirecTV. But, yeah, you know, I swear I saw the commercial for it and that, you know, we were getting a free preview. I'm just wondering if maybe they ran an old commercial or something and I, you know, I didn't pay attention or something, you know, was just kind of off or something like that. But yeah, I was kind of like, oh, well, let's check it out, see what's going on. And yeah, there was nothing. So I'm hoping maybe it was just, you know, hadn't started, or I was just.
You watched the commercial, but you didn't see the dates from March 2nd to March 8th.
Oh, is that when it is? Oh, okay. So I got another month to wait. I'm not gonna wait another month, Dan. What the hell? That's not fair. I probably thought it was February 2nd to February 8th, and I had missed most of it by then. So. You know, that's just not right. It should have been there when I wanted it. You know, why would they do that to me?
To get you excited, they want to prepare everybody.
Yeah. You know, that's just kind of disappointing. Well, I guess I won't look for it tonight then when I. You know, when I'm flipping around channels trying to figure out what's going on, I won't be looking for, for a damn hockey preview. Thanks, NHL. You did it to me again. So, just terrible. But all right, well, let's work some picks in here today, Dan, since we seem to have a little more free time here at the end of the podcast. Let's start in the NHL since we're here, and we'll go with the Carolina Hurricanes at your Washington Capitals, Dan. I know you're a big Capitals guy. You don't like to pick against them, but I'll give you a chance to call the big upset here and, you know, go with Carolina to get the win.
Oh, no, not against Washington.
All right, we'll plug Washington and let's see. Well, you know, we got to go with the other obvious one here, Dan. The Vancouver Canucks at the Nashville Predators. You've had bad luck picking the Predators games this year. It seems like when you pick them to lose, they win. You pick them to win, they lose. What side of the puck are you on tonight?
Vancouver.
Yeah, so. You know, and then obviously since there's not a ton of NBA games, I you know, we'll take a look here and probably just do one of these last two that hasn't started yet, see if there's one I like better than the other. Yeah, we'll go with the last one here, Dan. We'll go with the Portland Trailblazers at the Dallas Mavericks, since you have Dirk Nowitzki on your fantasy team. You like Portland getting a win there or Dallas?
Dallas.
Well, All right, so we'll see how that goes for Dan with his picks. You did go 2-2. You know, we haven't done picks in a little while, but you did go 2-2 last time. So we'll see if you can get rolling here with some picks, and hopefully, go on another big, huge, long run like you do from time to time. You know, I know you're just treading water till baseball season starts, and you can get rolling on your baseball picks, right?
Of course. I'm going to pick the Dodgers 98 times.
Yes. The Dodgers 98 times and the Cubs 91 times. The tough part will be picking them against each other. So
yeah.
You'll have to figure out how you're going to manage to do that one, right? So, with football over, are you ready for pitchers and catchers to report? You're ready for baseball to get going?
Of course. I mean, I don't know. It just cracks me up. All the memes with, the greatest play in NFL history, and now it's the dawn of MLB,
Yeah, you got to make those smooth transitions, though. You got to get from, one to the other without, slowing down. You got to stay up on all the things and make sure you're ready to roll. And it's just how it is, right?
Yeah, but nothing really changes for me. It's still baseball all the time. That's why we talk all sports all year. It doesn't really stop, except for when there really wasn't any activity in the off season. It seemed that Major League Baseball, the execs and all that took a much needed couple week hiatus from making any, transactions. So I think good for them, right? Take a break.
Boy, yeah, it did seem like it took a long time for something to get started again. And like, even now it's just trickling in,
Well, I think they understand too. You don't have to just jump on the first thing.
So, yeah, that is, possible. Maybe, they're learning or slowing down or, whatever they got going on. But, yeah, it'd be nice. I want to get going. I want to get the, the guys on the field and start looking at that stuff instead of just, all that kind of.
Yeah, but
all I know is it's time for Dan and I to head out. That's the game now. But don't worry, we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it all again. You know the deal, though, while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out all the content there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. Jump on and follow the Twitter for Dad Sports Time Radio. Dan's picks are coming up there, or they're coming up at Dan Zeman. And remember, there's three E's in that. He's got the Mavericks as his only NBA pick tonight, going with Dallas. And then no surprise, he has the Washington Capitals to win in the NHL, along with the Vancouver Canucks. So get on that Twitter feed. Let Dan know what you think of his picks. As always, thanks for listening live. And podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.